ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, Bhagavad Gita introduction. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time continue your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without a doubt. Bhagavad Gita 8:7. He does not advise Arjuna simply to remember him and give up his occupation. No, the Lord never suggests anything impractical. In this material world, in order to maintain the body, one has to work. Human society is divided, according to work, into four divisions of social order: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. The Brahmana class, or intelligent class, is working in one way. The Kshatriya, or administrative class, is working in another way. And the mercantile class and the laborers are all tending to their specific duties. In the human society, whether one is a laborer, merchant, administrator, or farmer, or even if one belongs to the highest class and is a literary man, a scientist, or a theologian, he has to work in order to maintain his existence. The Lord therefore tells Arjuna that he need not give up his occupation, but while he is engaged in his occupation, he should remember Krishna, mam anusmara. If he doesn't practice remembering Krishna while he is struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for him to remember Krishna at the time of death. Lord Chaitanya also advises this. He says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should practice chanting the names of the Lord always. The names of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. So Lord Krishna's instructions to Arjuna to remember me and Lord Chaitanya's instruction to always chant the names of Krishna are the same instruction. There's no difference, because Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. In the absolute status, there's no difference between reference and referent. Therefore, we have to practice remembering the Lord always, 24 hours a day, by chanting His names and molding our life's activities in such a way that we can remember Him always. So the living entity, they identify with this material body. It means the living entity has to work. They have to be active. The principle of ananda in the living entity and sat, I mean chit in the living entity, means he has to be active. Sat means existence. So in that principle of existence, we don't see that there doesn't need to be activity. Sat simply means we exist. But in this existence, yes, but that's not complete. The living entity is sat, chit, and ananda. So this, when you add those, then sat means existence, means we have to have an identity. And there must be, and others are there. So what is our relationship with them? So, but still, there's no activity. We know our relationship. And we have a relationship, we have an identity. But then there is the natural attraction, natural interest in this relationships with others. Then this creates the need for that interaction. We have a desire to interact with others. So this creates the activity. So that creation of activity, that is coming from the sambit, or the chit potency. So in there is activity, and that activity is based on our relationships and our goals. Without a relationship, you can't establish a goal. It doesn't happen. It means first, you have to be able to put two things together. Right? Then, once you put that together, then you can see what do you want to do with that? What can be the result of that? And if you like the result, you can find a good result, then you act. Otherwise, there's no action without this process. like that. If we see, we want to do something. We're sitting here, and then we start to get hungry, right? Then we connect our stomach together with the prasad hall, right? Then we think, oh, now it's time for prasad. And then we would like to eat, right? We may feel hungry. We may not want to eat because actually we would rather do something else. We want to go to the market, or we're tired, we'd rather sleep. So then we connect ourselves with the market or with our bed. And then we have that need. We want to sleep. We want to go to the market. We want to eat. And then once that's established, then we get up and move. Otherwise, we don't. There's no movement without these first two things happening. So first is thinking. So in thinking, then you're connecting things together. Seeing, is there something that you can make a relationship with? Feeling means then you desire that, you want that. Then willing, you actually do it. So nothing works without these three. It doesn't function like that. So the living entity has to be active. They can't not be active. So if one's on the transcendental platform, then one is active in one's spiritual form. Or if he's on the material platform, then he's active with his material form. There's no inactivity. Sometimes we think, well, the advanced devotee, he is inactive, like on the platform of bhava, or they're on the platform of prema. So they do nothing here. Yes, and it's mentioned in Gita, there's those work in inaction and action, and action and inaction. So in the material world, you have the jnani. They think they are doing nothing in this material world, they inaction. But they're always busy because they have material desire. In their heart is the desire to enjoy. So even though they have little, they're trying to enjoy that little. Whatever they have. They're very renounced, they have nothing in all this, but everybody better recognize that they are renounced and that they have nothing. And everyone should come to them and say, oh, you're so renounced, so detached from this world, we cannot do that, you are so elevated and wonderful. They have to hear that. Otherwise, then, they will not be satisfied. Right? If they didn't care for this at all, they wouldn't be milling around here. They'd be in the mountains. If they were real impersonalists, they wouldn't be here. They'd be in the mountains. They wouldn't be here. Right? Or if they're here, they wouldn't be interacting. They'd just be walking through, right? Whether there's buildings or whether there's forest, it's the same thing. It's all Brahman. But they are active, seemingly in their inaction, right? And then the devotee, he's active, but he's inactive. He's inactive on the material platform. So the body is working here, but he's inactive here because he's thinking of Krishna. But for the Paramahamsas, it seems that they are also inactive here. They don't do anything. But they are active in the spiritual platform. So you never get this. It's an impersonal idea is that they just get to a point where they're inactive here and then they just sit around. No, they're active in the spiritual platform. Within the spiritual realm, they are actually active. They are taking part in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So they're active. So you're either active here with your material body, or you're active there with the spiritual body. The soul has to be active. Therefore, that's what Prabhupada says, Krishna will never say, just give up your occupation and sit down and do nothing. He'll never say that. Because for the Paramahamsa, their occupation is serving Krishna, so they won't sit down and do nothing. Here it may look like they're doing nothing, but in the transcendental platform, they're busy serving in their spiritual form. So they're busy. They're not doing nothing. They're following their occupational duty, service to Krishna. But if one is conditioned, then he has the gross and subtle bodies, and those must be engaged in the Lord's service. So therefore, then occupational duty must be performed. Right? Otherwise, then how do you know what to do? You have to have an identity. Right? The whole idea is the body means we have an identity. I am this body. I am this mind, this intelligence, this ego. So that's not good, because that's not true. But if we take it to the next step, it's okay, I have this body, I have this mind, I have all this. So now, what am I supposed to do with it? So it's Krishna's body, but it has a particular nature. It's Krishna's mind, it has a particular nature. It has Krishna's intelligence, Krishna's ego. And they have a nature. And they go together. The natures match, because that's the way it's made. You have the, by your ego, then we have desires, or it's actually according to our desires, then we develop a certain kind of ego. Then we need a certain intelligence, certain senses for that, and a certain body to hold all that together. So that'll be there. So it'll be a complete package. So then one has to perform activity. Otherwise, how you'll be maintained. Now this maintenance also is a very interesting point. In the beginning we just say, if you don't work, then you don't eat. That gets the person in ignorance off the ignorant platform. Because if they don't work, no one wants them. So therefore they have no place to stay, no food to eat, this, that. So therefore they work. They come up a little bit to passion because they want something. But ultimately we're trying to get beyond that. Then we understand that we're, okay, if we don't work, we don't maintain. Right? But actually we're trying to understand is Krishna's taking care, Krishna's maintaining. But because we're serving him, then he's taking care of how he likes. And if we're not serving him, then we take care of according to what we like. Right? Now we may say, oh, well, I like this, I like that, but I'm not getting this. No, you're getting what you like. No one's not getting what they like. You're getting exactly what you like. But the problem is we don't think clearly, completely. Right? We have this idea that if you take a stick, you can take a stick. Let's say we take a stick that's, 18 inches long. And we will put one end of it on this bar here. Right? It'll be supported by the bar. And the other 18 inches will be on the other side, completely free in the space. And we think it will balance. Right? That's our idea. It will balance nicely. First class. But in reality, it won't balance. You have to put it so 9 inches is one side, 9 inches is the other. Then it balances. But our idea is I will only get happiness. There'll only be happiness in everything I do. The results of any of my activities will only be happiness. Even if I do something wrong, everybody should understand, the situation, this, that, I had to do like that. So therefore, why I should get a bad reaction? No, but everything is balanced. So how much good, that much bad. Not anymore. You enjoy more, that much unhappiness will be there. It's that simple. So if you put a 10-foot stick there with 5 foot this side and 5 foot that way, you'll enjoy 5 feet worth. You'll also suffer 5 feet worth. Right? Therefore, there's different lengths of sticks. Right? Like that. The Varnashram is for how much, okay, you want to enjoy 5 feet worth, or 5 meters worth, or 1 mile worth, fine, as long as you're willing to suffer the balance on the other side. Right? Kshatriya has so much kingdom, wealth, this, that, so much power and opulence. But then he doesn't, there's no anxiety when his, spies come and inform him that the enemy king is camped outside his fort with a huge army. There's no anxiety there. Oh no, it's great happiness. Right? He doesn't know anxiety for his citizens. Right? If something goes wrong and there's not proper, there's a drought or something happens, no anxiety, or seeing that his citizens are taken care of and that they're properly, cultivating spiritual life. No problems, right? Right? Purukit Maharaj, 5,000 years ago, no problems, right? Just Kali was over there beating a cow. He had to go with one full army to go correct the situation. Right? Never any problems, right? No, so much. So the one balances the other, right? Because happiness is the same as the unhappiness, therefore then we consider maybe it's worth going on, right? Because sat-chit ananda, there is no misery inherent in the living entity. Right? There's no misery inherent in the living entity. So therefore, they cannot relate to misery. It doesn't compute. That's why we always forget what was bad and remember what's good, right? You had a bad time. You know, when we grew up, we went to school, this, that, we never liked any of it. And then you look back 20, 30 years later, and it wasn't so bad. Yeah, we did this. You only remember what was good. Unless something was severely, really bad, then you might remember that one incident. Something really outstandingly bad. But otherwise, we forget the bad with time and only remember good, because the soul is Ananda. So therefore, it can only relate to Ananda. Therefore, we happily go on in this material world, because we forget how bad it is. We just keep going like that. We forget. So there must be activity. So then this balance must be there. Right? So then in this, then there'll be... So Brahman, okay, he enjoys very little. Okay, there's 1 inch on his stick instead of, you know, 10 feet like the Kshatriya. But on the other side of the balance, there's only 1 inch also. So that's the mode of goodness. Materially, there's not much enjoyment. Materially, there's no suffering either. You know? And as you add passion, then so much enjoyment, so much suffering. Right? And then in ignorance, your enjoyment is illusory, your suffering is illusory. Right? You think you're enjoying, you think you're suffering. So then, this must be there. So Krishna will engage these for us. He will engage them. He won't do otherwise. Because we identify with this, so we have to do it. We have to be engaged according to our nature. So the point is, but we must remember Krishna. The point is, the occupational duty is not wrong. It's given by Krishna. The difficulty, we have to add Krishna. That's the important thing. Right? It's not the duty that's important. It's adding Krishna to it. The duties are something just to add Krishna to. Right? Just like you want to serve a meal. Right? So you have some sabji and you put it in a pot. So is the pot important? No. It's only important because it carries the sabji. And according to the situation, you may have a different pot. Okay, it's a formal situation. You have a nice pot. It's not such a formal situation. You have any pot you can get your hands on. Right? But pot must be there. So therefore, Varnashram system is there. It's simply to carry our remembrance of Krishna. Because we're not on the transcendental platform where we can be absorbed in transcendental activities. We'll be absorbed in material activity. All we see is material. Right? We hear material, we touch material, we smell material, we taste material. Therefore, all of these things are connected to Krishna. All these different activities. Then we're able to engage our present nature in Krishna's service. Right? We like to eat so much? Yes, eat so much prasad. We like to eat very little? Yes, we eat very little. So all these different things. Whatever is the need, we can do that for Krishna. Someone has great attachment? Yes, be attached. Fine. Just engage it all according to how Krishna says you should be attached. You want money? You have so much unlimited money you can have. No problem. As long as you use it how Krishna says you should use it. Right? You want things? Yes, have. But use it how Krishna wants it used. Why? Because it's Krishna's things. It's Krishna's money, Krishna's things, Krishna's body, Krishna's mind, Krishna's intelligence. So we don't use it that way, we're cheating. We may say, oh, it doesn't work like that. How it doesn't work? We made the mind, we made the body, right? We made the intelligence. Then we can't say this. It is cheating to say we cannot follow Krishna's culture today because things are different. Krishna made whatever you see. There's nothing that Krishna didn't make. And we're going to say that it doesn't work? We, the minute, little, infinitesimal spiritual spark, which can do nothing but desire, it can't even move, 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair can move anything. Not even a particle of dust we can push. We're so small. Right? Or 1/10,000th the size of one particle of dust, and we're going to push it around with a big controller, big mover. No. Krishna is still Paramatma. He's still in our heart. He is still sanctioning, or not sanctioning, our activities based on our previous karma. And the modes of nature are still making it happen. They did it millions of years ago. They're doing it today. They'll do it millions of years in the future. Just the way it is. We need to accept we are not the controller. We are not the enjoyer. So therefore, our personal opinion doesn't matter. It's useless. Right? But if we connect it to Krishna, then it has value. Right? Within Krishna's opinion, then within that we work. That's fine. We like this aspect of Krishna's activities, or that aspect of Krishna, then that's fine. That is the individuality. That is the personalness. Krishna is everything. So there can't be anything outside of Krishna. But which part of Krishna we like to work with, that's the individuality. Someone likes to work with Krishna's money. Someone likes to work with Krishna's music. Someone likes to work with Krishna's, you know, shastras. Someone likes to work with Krishna's cooking. So therefore it's all perfect, because it's Krishna's. So there's no meaning that outside this, there's no opinion. Opinion is useless. The only opinion that has value is Krishna's. Right? Krishna says, this shastra says this, this one says that. Some have this opinion, some say that. But in my opinion, it's like this. Because he created it. So that's what's real. And the others don't really matter. They don't matter. They're connected to Krishna, it has meaning. Not connected to Krishna, useless. What does it mean? What does it matter? We can say so many things, right? Means you go to the insane asylum, you find plenty of people with all kinds of opinions. Right? But we call them crazy. Because their opinions are so different from our opinion. Therefore, they're considered crazy. Right? But if you actually look at it, Krishna is the real opinion. And everybody here has a different opinion. Therefore, this is just one huge nut house. That's all. One huge insane asylum. Some are more insane. They're critical. Okay, so like you have a hospital and you have the critical ward, you know, the critical unit. So then they're in the critical unit. They're more, their opinion is more weird than others. Okay, so they're there. Right? And one may say, well, that's, you know, opinion is mine. This is, but, you know, we're talking intelligence, logic. Yes, but in the insane, people are in the insane asylum not because they're stupid. They're there because they're crazy. You go there, there's many people, very educated, you know, very intelligent, but they're crazy. Logically, they can see. They have intelligence. They're not stupid. They're crazy. It's two different things. Right? Intelligence is fine. Mind is little, has problems. You know, it may influence what they think about and what they logically conclude, but intelligence is not the problem. So just because we seemingly logically come to our own opinion, unless it's connected to Krishna, what's the value of it? It's just another crazy opinion. So therefore, then work is done according to Krishna's direction. Okay? Krishna has given this varnashram system because it very nicely says, okay, if someone's older than you, then what do? Right? You know, you disregard. No, you respect them. Someone's younger than you, what do? Oh, you're kind to them. Someone's equal to you, oh, you make friendship with them. So everything is based on what is your relationship. Okay, you're the king. Okay, so that means anyone in your charge, you have to take care of. It's your duty to see that they are prospering. They're not prospering, it's your fault. Of course, they have their karma in that, but you're doing your best to create the facility with which they can prosper. You don't make them prosper, you create the facility in which they can prosper. Right? If there's thieves, a businessman can't prosper. Because thieves will steal all his money. No one can be peaceful. Right? If everybody's engaged in sense gratification, how the Brahminical culture will go? No one cares for authority, how the Kshatriya culture will work? Right? No one has any interest in fine art, then what will the shooters do? So you have to create the facility. You have to see that everything's there. So that's what it's for. It's for what is your relationship with the, what is your material identity? What is proper situation? And what is your relationship with everybody else? That is varnashram. Right? That's actual varnashram. Then, deeper than that, taking it the next step, what Krishna said here, now with that, how, as this identity in these relationships, how do I think of Krishna? Right? These are Krishna's people, so the Kshatriya is saying, I must protect all of Krishna's people. I must see that all of Krishna's devotees then are protected. Right? Brahmins must say, I must help somehow or another, help try to train and improve the benefit those who are devotees of Krishna. Right? The Vaishya, he must create the economic development for everybody else. Right? Economic development, see, everybody's only doing one thing. The Kshatriya is protecting, means he's creating the environment in which everyone else can work. He doesn't create economics. He doesn't create teaching. He doesn't create art. Right? He doesn't do that. He creates the facility in which everybody else can work. That's a Kshatriya. Vaishyas know how to make money. Kshatriya's no need for him to make money. Why he should make money? Right? You create the facility in which hundreds or thousands or millions of Vaishyas can make their money. Why the Kshatriya, one man, will make how much money he can make? But you create the facility and then unlimited Vaishyas can make money. How much a Kshatriya can teach everybody? No. He creates a facility in which the Brahmins can teach. Right? Shudras, how he can build everything and make everything and sing everything and do everything and carry everything. No, he can't. So he creates a environment in which all the other members can do their duty. That's a Kshatriya. Not, he's in charge, he's in power, he wears a crown, he has a big sword, so he's a Kshatriya, right? Kshatriya. Typical picture of a Kshatriya. You get a picture of a guy in a, you know, military outfit with an AK-47, that's a Kshatriya. No, that's nothing to do with Kshatriyas. It's one of their tools. And if they don't have to use it, why they'll use it? Why would you go out with an AK-47 when you can do it simply through some nice words? Right? If you can simply speak nicely to the other party, and then all problems go away, why you wouldn't do that? And if that doesn't work, then you give a position and some praise and this and that, and then that'll work. If that doesn't work, then you warn them, if you do like this, this will be the result. Right? And then you make sure everybody else understands why this is bad and why it's going to get a bad result, so they also shouldn't buy into what this person's doing. Then if it doesn't work, then you get out your stick. That's a Kshatriya. So Kshatriya's business is to protect the people. That's his first business. Fighting is there just to protect his own people. The local neighbor king is avaricious, so he wants to take over your kingdom, then you are worried. He won't protect his citizens nicely. Therefore you fight. It's not that you're fighting because you want the power and you want the position and the wealth. No. Kshatriya, before he sits on the throne, he has nothing. Right? He's a brahmachari in the gurukul. Right? He has a deer skin. He has a stick. He has a piece of cloth. A Brahmin thread. And that's it. Then when he's on the throne, he has all the facility. And then, when it's time to leave, he doesn't even walk out with the clothes on his back. They take nothing with them. This is an important point. They don't even take the clothes they were wearing with them when they leave. They bring cloth from the forest and put that on and leave. Everything stays. Not one thing goes with them. That's a Kshatriya. So they protect. That makes a Kshatriya. So you can only do, one person can do that. You can't do everything. If you want to study and teach, you can only do that. You can't do business and this and that and do that. You know, you have to do that. And then you depend upon the Lord, whatever He gives. And if you want to make money, you have to be thinking of money 24 hours a day. Then your business. And if you're into art, you have to be totally thinking of that 24 hours a day. So Vaishyas make money for everybody. That means most of their money is going to be given away in charity and taxes. And if that's not the mentality, it's not a Vaishya. You know? And Brahmins and Kshatriyas don't do business. They may in emergency, but they're expected to still maintain their Brahminical and Kshatriya culture. So therefore, they will also give in charity. Right? But if someone makes money but doesn't give in charity, then that's neither a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, or a Vaishya. We have to remember, if you have a shop, like you go to any shop, you know, a big shop, and there's, in the corner, there's some big fat guy chewing pan, wearing a t-shirt, and sitting behind this little desk like this. Right? That's the Vaishya. Everyone else in the shop is Shudras. The salesman, the people who buy the merchandise, or the people who pack everything. Salesman means Shudra. It doesn't mean Vaishya. Someone who their job is selling, that's a Shudra. A Vaishya may sell. If he can't get it together, he may do it himself. Like, you know, he may have run a pawn shop, so therefore he sells it himself. He doesn't have others. You know, until he becomes really big, then maybe. But otherwise, he does it himself. But that's a tool. Right? So just because you can sell doesn't mean you're a Vaishya. How you tell a Vaishya? Because they give in charity. If they don't, they're not Vaishyas. Then they're Shudras. Very simple. The problem is Varnashram is so simple, it's scary. Because the reality is so blunt, it just slaps you right in the face. And no one wants to be slapped in the face. That's the thing. Varnashram is very straightforward. You want to do this? Fine. Here's all the rules for it. Do it. But don't pick and choose. That's why Krishna says, better to do your own duty, not nicely, than someone else's better. Why you'll do someone else's? Because you want the benefit of that. You're a Brahmin, but you want to do business. Why? Because you want money. Better to stick to your own job. Or the Vaishya, he wants the position. Oh yes, I'm a very religious man, so he takes up Brahminical things. But he's just doing it for the benefit, for the profit. So better he just makes his money. So therefore there's restriction. Then it becomes very, very simple. Everybody falls into place, everything works very nicely. Like that. So either we do it according to Krishna's direction in a systematic way, or we don't, and it'll happen anyway. You go to the West anyway, it's still there. You can still pick out Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. But it's not so systematic. So there's some mixing this and that. Right? That's all. You still go. There's still one guy, though he doesn't chew pan, you know, and he's not sitting in a t-shirt, but he's over in the corner, he sits upstairs, and he runs the shop, and then all the guys downstairs selling all the electronics, they said they're all Shudras. Right? It's simple. It's a simple thing. You're hired by someone else, you're Shudra. Very simple. But we must remember in this system, Shudra is a human being. Shudra is a very elevated person. They're human. They're someone who is interested in spiritual life. They're someone who is interested in the absolute truth. Right? They may be sophisticated or not. But below Shudra, that is all of those who don't follow the Vedic culture. So that anything below Shudra, anyone who doesn't follow Vedic culture is below Shudra. That means they are subhuman. Tribals. They may be sophisticated tribals, but tribals nonetheless. They have their particular tribal dress, you know, it's some funny coat, and there's this funny little flat piece of cloth they tie around their neck, like that, and then, you know, and then they have these kind of pants and these funny pointed shoes. And they carry this strange little square rectangular box with a handle on the side, like that. You know, that's one tribe's dress, right? You know, and then, you know, so many tribes are there. Like that. And they fit into these. They move in that tribe, right? These guys don't talk to people who don't dress like that. Right? So it's a tribe. Like that. Sophisticated tribe. You know, one of the most... Basically, they run the non-Vedic world. Right? All these guys with the funny little rectangular boxes and the... And that, you know, flat piece of cloth tied around their neck. These guys run the world, the non-Vedic world. Very sophisticated, right? It means they're even mentioned in Gita, the Naradhamas. Right? Very sophisticated people. Like that. That's why they stand out. Muddhas are stupid, foolish. Naradhamas are not stupid. They're very intelligent. Good birth, good intelligence. But no interest in God. Right? So they're there, but they're one kind of tribal. Like that. So the idea is that now is now how do we remember Krishna in this? Because we may not be able to just remember Krishna. If we could just remember Krishna all day, then we would be on the platform of Bhava or Prema. But since we're not on that platform, then we have to remember. So therefore, the chanting. Because the chanting and Krishna is non-different. So chanting is the same as remembering Krishna. Like that. So that is why it's very important, the Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of Japa, the Kirtan, the preaching, where we're, you know, preaching Krishna's glories, talking about Krishna. That's the importance of this. So the more this can be done and added into the life, the better. So then whatever the situation, you use that to preach. Then you may say, well, my situation is not practical. Yes, that is true. It may not be so practical. That's why that situation is not as good as the situation in which it is practical. And the honest person will admit that. That's the thing. Well, I'm busy making money, this, that, I can't do all these things. Yes, good, do it. Fine, Krishna says. He just says, don't, stop doing that. How much you can remember Krishna, how much you can do, do that. Even if it's just a little bit. But don't think that that position is as good as someone who is able to do more. Someone who is able to do full-time service is better situated than someone who is busy all day making money. The realization of the individual, that's a different topic. Right? It may be the person making the money is more Krishna conscious than the person who's doing full-time service in the temple. That's a different thing. That's not the topic here. But the situation is better because there's more opportunity to remember Krishna. More opportunity to remember Krishna. So that's why it's better. But that's why it's better. And then, what are the symptoms that this is better? Because of more service, there's more purity, there's more humility, there's more service attitude, there's more respect for authority, there's more cooperation with devotees, there's less material desire. That's what it's for. So if we see that all that's going on, they're more materialistic, behave badly, don't respect authority, then this person is not fit for this. They're doing their own. Krishna says, you should do your own service, not this service. You should be doing something else. That person should be doing something. They don't belong there. The person who their service is sadhana, their occupational duty is sadhana, then must be doing, he mentions here, kirtaniya sadahari. So where does that come from? Trinadapi sunichana, tarodapi shadishmana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That has to be cultivated. If you're not trying to cultivate humility, tolerance, respect of others, and not looking for respect for yourself, then there's no kirtaniya sadahari. So then what's the meaning? then better to do what you actually want. You want money? Better to do something else, make money. Don't make a show, you're a big sadhu. You know? You want to do this or that, then better do that. Don't make a show. Right? Krishna says, don't make a show. Do what is good for you. And then that much you remember Krishna. Because that much only you're remembering Krishna anyway. You're not remembering more. So then, like this. The chanting must go on. If it's not going on, then the process won't work. Varnashram won't work without the chanting. In this age, Varnashram will not work without the chanting. Like that. Because it's not the process for this age. Other ages, that is a process. You could use it and elevate yourself. Because people were very pious. This age, not so pious. Therefore, on its own, Varnashram won't work. It is simply an assistant to the Bhagavad, to the chanting. It's simply an assistant to the chanting. Because we can't chant 24 hours a day, but we must be engaged in Krishna's service, then we engage yourself according to Krishna's direction. He says, okay, if you can't be chanting, then do this brahminical duty or this kshatriya duty, vaishya shudra duty, like this. But you do it according to Krishna's direction. And how Krishna wants it done? And to please Krishna. Right? So if we're doing it to please Krishna, then automatically all this worship of demigods and the shraddhas and all this karma, it's all dropped out. So what does that leave us? It leaves us the sadhana of the ashrams and the essential principles of the varnas. Right? That's all it leaves. The other stuff is dropped out because that's not really what's pleasing to Krishna. If someone is not interested in Krishna at all, he doesn't respect Krishna as the supreme authority, then okay, you should respect Krishna as the authority and all of the living entities as Krishna's devotees. That's the standard. So therefore you're respectful to everyone. There's no living entity you're not respectful to. But if you're not a devotee, then that's not very possible. Right? So therefore, at least respect these living entities. A Brahmin, right? And a graduated Brahmin, then someone who is expert in all the rituals, or a teacher, or the guru, or the king, or representative of the king, or a rich person, right? Or an older person. At least respect these, your mother, your father. At least respect these. Even though you can't, everybody else you disrespect or have no respect at all. At least these few people respect. So the principle of respect is not lost. So it keeps one from falling down into animal life. Animal life, who cares for anybody? It's matsya nyaya there. Matsya nyaya. Matsya means fish. So it's the rule of the fish. Right? In the ocean, the bigger fish rules, right? If you're a small fish, you stay out of the way of the big fish, because he'll eat you. And then a fish bigger than him will eat him, like that. So it's just like that. That's the Vedic. It's called Matsyanaya. In English, we say dog eat dog, right? You notice here, it doesn't say human eat human, or shudra eat shudra. No, it says dog eat dog, because this is the system outside human life. Human life then does respect. But Vaishnavas have the ultimate respect. They respect Krishna, so they respect all devotees. So then it works nicely. And it's perfect. So that is the position why Varnashram is used by the Vaishnavas, because it engages one in those moments that one can't chant or think of Krishna. But at least you do it according to Krishna's direction, dropping off all the karmakanda, jnanakanda aspects that are unfavorable for bhakti. Right? And so who decides that? We decide that? No. We already discussed. Our opinion is useless. So what the acharyas say, what Krishna says, right? That is how we understand what to take of sadhana, what to take of the varnashram. We take that, what the acharyas say. And the rest we leave. Then that much we do for Krishna, to remember Krishna. But the essence of that is to chant. It's not to become perfect at these things. It didn't matter. Right? Arjuna at the end of life, then he is there, the big Kshatriya, and then he's bringing the queens and he loses them all to some cowherd man. Not even to some big Kshatriya came along, or some big Gandharva, or some Raksha. Somebody powerful came along and fought and defeated Arjuna and took the girls away. Okay, that's one thing. No, just some farmers came with sticks and walked off with the girls. There was even no fight. He couldn't even pick up his bow, couldn't string it, couldn't do anything. No fight, just walked off. Big Kshatriya. Right? Because to go back to Godhead, he did not need his perfections of it as a Kshatriya. Going back to Godhead, that this is a tool. You take the thorn out with the thorn. We discussed this yesterday. So the thorn is material identity, material endeavor. So then we use another thorn that's called Varnashram. And with that, we take out the material identity and material activities. And then they both are gone. So perfection of Varnashram doesn't make you perfect to go back to Bhakti. You're thinking of Krishna. You're chanting Krishna's name. You're preaching Krishna's name. You're studying about Krishna. That makes it perfect. Next. Okay, so we'll end here. Any questions or comments on this?
Yes, ma'am. No. I mean, Prabhupada made sannyas. I mean, sannyas and brahmanas also fallen into society. Even Gaudiya Mas also, the same thing. So how do we know which is our occupational key to still we are falling down?
Huh.
They're not actually in our occupational duty.
Yeah.
But still we are, you know, how do we know which is our
occupational duties? Yeah, so how do we know our occupational duties? Means we have to study our own nature along with help from other persons, you know, others like this. We study from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then we can understand. The basic thing is there needs to be training. Because for the Varnashram, first is training. Without the training, it's very hard to follow. But if you don't follow, it's worse. So better to be trying to do it and fail than not try at all. Right? That's the point of shoot the rhinoceros. You just sit there because rhinoceroses can't be shot. What's the glory? But if you try, even if you fail, then no one can criticize. But at least you made the endeavor. So that endeavor in this material world, even in the material platform, endeavor is respected more than nothing. Laziness. The guy tried. He failed, okay, but he can try again. That's the mode of passion. Everybody respects that. But they tried. So the honest person actually sees they're trying. Like that. But unless there's good training, it's difficult. That's why you see that Prabhupada was always emphasizing the training and the study of his books. Right? He was expanding the movement dynamically, focusing on that up to 75. And then from 75, expansion should continue, but everybody's expert at that. It's happening without thinking. They already know how to do it. You don't have to learn how to do it. It's already going on. Then he was emphasizing training of the devotees. Boil the milk. You see, somebody's coming. Boil the milk. But where is the milk? Where is the pots of milk being boiled? Right? He wanted every temple to be a place, educational institution. Right? Some temples, I remember one temple talking about, you know, devotees come and they say they'd like to study and read and all that. And I mentioned it to the temple president. He says, oh, they should have known that they do all their reading before they join the temple. Once they join the temple, they only have time to, you know, for the daily sadhana and going out and collecting money. There's no time for anything else. So then, we've missed the point. We're collecting money to maintain the temple. Why are we maintaining the temple? So people can join the temple to collect money to maintain it. Right? Perfection is a maintained temple. Right? That's what it says. At the end of Kali Yuga, if someone can maintain his family, they'll say, oh yes, what a great grihastha. Right? Because that's all about it. So you can say, yes, of course, they're being engaged. But that is a perfect engagement for people who collecting money is their need. Then yes, you have a perfect system for them. But what about everybody else? Which is most of the people. Otherwise, why is it there's 300 devotees in the community that doesn't come to the temple, and there's 5 brahmacharis and brahmacharinis collecting all the money? So if you check the percentage, you know, it kind of like gets pretty small. You know, okay, you're catering to 1.5% of the Vaishnava community. So that means, okay, great, we'll have to give credit that 1.5% is engaged for the next 3 years. And then after that, they join the other 300 devotees. So something's wrong. Even the 1.5 is only being partially engaged. You're engaging their body. What about their mind, their intelligence, their ego? So it's not a complete system. So what they have, that system is there. That system was already established before 75. But now what about the next step Prabhupada wanted to take it to? How to engage everybody else? Right? You already know how to expand, how to make the devotee. But now, how do you keep the devotee? That they don't know. That was Prabhupada's trying to introduce. This is the next stage. Now cultivate the devotee. You made the life member, now cultivate them. Make them into a devotee. You made the person a brahmachari, brahmachari, now make them into devotees. So they'll either remain good brahmacharis or they'll become good grihasthas. You'll get a good community. But in most places, there's no community. They have a congregation, kind of. Community is something else. Community means one set of values. Congregation just means they come. They kind of like what you're doing. Are they something to? It's part of their life. Congregation means it's part of their life. Community means it is their life. But naturally in the community, some live inside and some live outside. Right? Brahmacharis are supposed to live inside. Grihasthas are supposed to live outside. But some grihasthas do live inside. You see temples in India, grihasthas live inside. Those who are priests and those things, they live inside. Others don't. And brahmacharis live inside because they're being trained. But the temple is supposed to be a place of training, a place of activity, a place of interest. And then everybody wants to come and take part. So that's the next stage that Prabhupada tried to establish at that time, is somehow or another missed. So with that, then your point gets accomplished. Is then devotees are trained so that each generation of devotees will be more and more expert at following the Vedic culture, at following the sadhana, at remembering Krishna, at doing all these things. Otherwise then you always just have a generation that, you know, has to work, you know, create, invent the wheel themselves. And so naturally it's difficult.
So Prabhupada said, because of sannyasis and going to falling down, that's it. He wanted to establish a one ashram system.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada all gave initiation to the devotees for sannyasis, but they also falling down.
Yeah. Well, that's there. But the point is you have to start. Means sannyasis and brahmacharis may fall down. Grihasthas are falling down. Means grihastha dumps his wife and marries some 20-year-old. Is that an improvement? He's 50 years old. He's just got married for the third time. Yes, this is something glorious. That's called fallen. The Vedic literature won't accept that. Vedas won't accept. You dump this. What's wrong with this lady? You dumped her for some other lady, you know. So what's that? Or the ladies walk off with them, and what's that? That's not a grihastha, that's a grihamedi. There's an idea that devotee means grihastha no matter what you do, and nonsense, karmi, rascal, stinky, smelly, that means grihamedi. Grihamedi is simply consciousness. Simply consciousness. If in your priorities the house is first and Krishna is second, that's called a grihamedi. Because maybe means what's the center. And everything goes around it. So that's it's a simple thing, consciousness. So So, and from one day to the next, somebody could go from being a nice grihastha to a grihamedi in one day. Just the consciousness change. So it's not that the sannyasis, it's easy to pick them out because it's more obvious. Because you don't have brahmacharis and sannyasis in the Western Malecha culture. Right? And so, therefore, you know, they're easy to point out. Like that. But grihastha, if they're not following, they're also following. Right? If they don't follow the regulative principles, they're following. And they say, well, they're grihasthas. That doesn't mean it, yeah, but they're following. So the whole point is the whole system is weak because of lack of training. A good brahmachari becomes a good grihastha. But right now, the idea is a good brahmachari will never become a grihastha, and a useless brahmachari, he becomes a grihastha. Right? So then you get useless grihasthas. They're not grihasthas. Or they're not such good grihasthas. They're as good grihasthas as the sannyasis and the brahmins. So the pot's calling the kettle black. You know? Sannyasis, brahmachari saying, yeah, these attached grihasthas, you know? But they're falling down. And the grihasthas are going, ah, these, you know, so-called, but they're fallen. What's their business to speak? So both of them have to become educated. Both of them have to become trained. Then it works. Otherwise, you wouldn't have this conflict. It's not human to have this conflict between the varnas or ashrams. It's improper. So that there's this kind of conflict means we're not dealing with the human platform. We're dealing below that. So even our approach of varnashram, like before I discussed, what is a kshatriya? But most people, kshatriya means, you know, angry, passionate guy who's in control. That's not a kshatriya. That's an angry, passionate guy who likes to be in control. Nothing to do with kshatriya. You see, all the kshatriyas, very peaceful. They're like brahmins. They're like brahmins.
You were saying temple is a place to train them up.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays we see the temple is also a mode of passion.
Yeah. Well, the temple needs improvements. But it's everywhere. But it's just a matter of doing it. If we realize what you means another, like we discussed in the beginning, what you, until you see the relationship and until you desire something, there's no action. So because there's no desire to train devotees, therefore there's no endeavor to train devotees. If by the training, I mean some places do, they encourage a few seminars here and there, because then the Sankirtan devotees become inspired and they make more money. Right? You learn these things from the business books. They call them management books, but they're business books. There are no, the business, the management book is called Manu Samhita, Artha Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are management books. I mean, you know, actual management. All these others that you buy on the market that says management, that's all business books. Right? Well, what's the purpose? You do this, your profits go. That book is for how to run a country? No. There's not a book on the market that says how to be the prime minister or president of a country. No, they tell you how to manage your company. So it's not kshatriya management. Though we take it, yes, we'll train our kshatriyas in, you know, this and that book. But that's vaishya management. Right? Shudras also manage. Right? You know, women, how do you walk into a house, it's perfectly clean, everything's in order, and now there's tons of stuff. How is that? It's managed. Right? Says management, there's so many kinds of management. Kshatriya management is something else, it's different. Right? It's not something known. Western culture doesn't approve of it. Right? Otherwise, why do they keep taking the kings out of power and putting in some kind of democracy? Because they don't like kshatriya management. Of course, maybe they've been bad kshatriyas, that's another thing. Right? That's the one fortunate thing, is there's no such thing as a bad vaishya. Because in Krishna, we see in Gita, Brahmans work according to certain qualities. They must have quality, otherwise they can't be a Brahman. Kshatriyas work according to certain qualities, otherwise they're not a Kshatriya. Brahman Kshatriyas, they don't have good character, they can't do those things. But a Vaishya and Shudra don't have to have any character at all. They can be absolutely characterless, as long as they know how to do business or do their art. You may say they're a bad person, but you can't say they're a bad businessman. The guy may be a, you know, cutthroat businessman. You have to respect that. It may be bad. You wouldn't do what he does. You wouldn't deal in the product that he deals in. But you have to respect him, that he is a good businessman. As a person, he may be a useless nonsense. You wouldn't want to go near him. Complete nonsense. But that's different. But the Brahmin and Kshatriya, you can't separate the occupation and the character. The two go together, because one's based on the other. So therefore, it's different. It's a different thing.
No, but the monarchy, you can't work in this age of Kali Yuga.
Which?
The monarchy.
Monarchy means the only thing that works is Krishna consciousness. If you're Krishna conscious, then anything works. If you're not Krishna conscious, nothing works. Right? Because business depends upon discipline. Right? So if there's no discipline, there's no justice, there is no economics. So if there's no character, means the Kshatriya is not, there's no character somewhere, this is going to go. So then even the businessmen won't be able to do business. Why at the end of Kali Yuga, you don't hear of all kinds of nice big business in that? You just hear, you know, cavemen. Right? Because you can't do any of this. Because there has to be some sophistication to do business. That's why they give all these rules in these business books. Is that without those, you don't do business. You don't have to have personal character. These are just the tricks. You do this, you get the result. That's all. So it's like buy this, sell it for like that, you get the result. So therefore, if I speak nicely to my workers, they work harder. So it's simply profit. It's economics. You know? And if the next door neighbor doesn't stop stealing my stuff, I can't do business. Therefore, then the Vaishyas demand a strong police force, this, that. But it's only done for that purpose. It's not done to protect the Brahmins, right? Otherwise, why we're out on Harinam and the police pick us up and put us in jail? So they're not Kshatriyas, right? Democracy is not a Kshatriya or Brahminical system. Right? It's a Vaishya system. It's a Vaishya system. And that's why it's so popular. The Vaishyas cooperate like that. You know, Chamber of Commerce, all these different things. It's a Vaishya system. That's why they don't like the Kshatriyas, because their authority, it's monarchy. They say it happens. The Vaishyas want to say, but not take responsibility. Kshatriya is saying that they take responsibility. Right? So if you're going to speak, you must take the responsibility. But nowadays you see people don't want, that's why the committee is important. If someone comes to you and says, hey, why you guys said this and that? It wasn't me. You know, whole committee, I didn't vote for it. You can go to each person and they do that. Rare you'll find a person, yes, I voted like this. This is the reason. Very rare. You can hide behind the committee. It has the power, but it takes no responsibility. Vaishya. So the Varnashram system is very, very simple. Right? It's basically, you know how to develop economically, either through business, through cows, or through land, or banking. Or you know how to create facilities for everybody and generate, you know, whatever it takes to protect that. Or you know how to teach, you know how to preach, you know how to do deity worship, or cook, or ritual. Or you assist those people. It's that simple. The system's very simple. The system's very, very simple. But because of the last point, the whole thing gets thrown out. Because the Western concept is you have a hierarchy, no one wants to be on the bottom. But the Vedic system is not a hierarchy, it's the body. It's the Lord's body. Right? The Shudras are the Lord's legs. The Kshatriyas are the Lord's arms. The Vaishyas are the Lord's stomach. The Brahmins are the Lord's hands. Right? That's what the Vedic mantra says. Brahmano, what? Brahmanoha priti. Brahmanoha. Pushishukta explains it. But that's what it is. So we worship, right? We worship Krishna's head and his feet. We don't care for his feet, right? Because they're on the bottom, lowest. Right? No, everybody's worshiping Krishna's feet. So that means if the Shudras are Krishna's feet, then the Shudras can't be so bad after all. So that's the thing. It's whether we're looking at it from a mundane point of view, either non-Vedic, which is sinful, or even Vedic, but material, then we make these distinctions. But the Vedic concept is Vaishnavas are Vaishnavas. They're all Brahmins. Means they're above Brahmin. But they have a condition, everyone has a conditioned nature. So the Vaishnava may have a Brahminical conditioned nature, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra conditioning. But that has nothing to do with their perfection in sadhana, and in chanting, and going back to Godhead. That's just what they will do to maintain themselves and how they'll interact with other people on the daily activities, not on spiritual activities.
Right? You were saying if the Vaishnava don't give charity, then he's a
fool. He's a fallen. That's one of the points is, no, I was saying if he only sells stickers and he claims to be a Vaishya, he may be a Vaishya, he may not be a Vaishya. But generally, any Vaishya I see, you give him a stack of stickers today, and tomorrow, with the profit of that, he'll buy more stickers, and he'll have someone else sell them. You go to any of our communities, and you see that there's devotees who are selling stickers and hats and this and that, doing all kinds of little things and that, and they have a little money that they scratch together and somehow or another maintain. Then you'll find, depending on the community, a few devotees who are millionaires. Those millionaires, those are the Vaishyas. And there may be a few others who are Vaishyas, but they don't have the karma to make money. But those are few. Or you'll see they're dedicated to taking care of the cows or plowing the field. But otherwise, so they're few. And the others, they're just doing that because it makes a buck. They need some money, they go out. They don't need money. No, Vaishya can't. Money. Vaishya needs or doesn't need, he has to make money. Okay? They just have to make. They have to make more than what they need. Otherwise, how do they give cows? They have to produce more milk than the calf needs. Okay? Therefore, then everybody gets milk. If they only produced how much the calf needed, there would be no milk. So Vaishya has to produce more wealth than he can ever use. That way then he can give in charity and give taxes and all that, plus live very comfortably. Plus take care of his shudras. So he gives charity to the Brahmins, he gives tax to the Kshatriyas, and he supports his shudras. So therefore everyone's taken care of. That's Vaishya. Of course, it may take time to build up to that. But unless we know what the goal is, we're not going to get there. We know what is a Vaishya, then we can get there. We know what is a Brahmacharya, a Sannyasi, or a Grihastha, then we can get there. If we just say, it's Kali Yuga, what can we do? Then we're not going to get anywhere. Right? Then whatever you say is the standard today, it'll be lower tomorrow. But if you set a higher standard, then it will progress. That's called Vedic culture. Like that. One has to try to progress.
I was told that during Bhakti Siddhanta's.
I'm just thinking it's because everybody here has to go to other things, so we should stop. Like that. I mean, we could talk all day, but I think everybody else has things to do. Okay.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada.